Today we begin our first conversation in a series that we're calling Sliding Into Your Manifesting Versions. That's a lot of words for something that actually isn't quite as complicated as it sounds. What we're essentially doing is inviting you to use your versions who are already in the manifesting of whatever it is that you are intending and that you currently perceive as not being something that you have, and use them to work out the kinks in terms of what you believe and what you're thinking and how you're approaching and where you are in alignment with that idea. So we're going to start off with this first conversation talking about what versioning is and why manifesting works the way that it does and how it works for you. Now, these things we're going to say are, again, templates of ideas. We are not telling you how it is. We're telling you how it probably is. Each one of you will interpret these things a little bit differently. We also want to remind you that, speaking of versions, we are a version of you. Now, we don't know what that means to you specifically because we don't have access to that information. But what we do know is that whatever we're saying, it's important, like with anything, to pay attention to how it feels. If it feels confusing, it's likely information that doesn't belong to you. Now, if you are confused and you want to ask us a question, please do. But also remember that confusion is not necessarily a problem that needs to be solved. It is more likely an indication that whatever the bit of information is that we're speaking of isn't really pertinent to you. That's why it doesn't make sense. And we know this goes against everything that were taught and have taught yourself about what it means to be intelligent. But it's very helpful and very, very useful indeed to pay attention to that. So again, as we said, we're going to start off by talking about what versioning is. We're going to talk about what manifesting is. And as we do so, we will be inviting you continuously to bring whatever questions you may have to the table once we are finished with this initial conversation. So we look forward to this, however it is that it may unfold. For certainly, it looks like this is set up as some sort of teaching and experience, but we are not doing anything like that. We are just simply reminding you of who you are and acting as your version for you in whatever way that is meaningful to you. So let us begin at the beginning by talking about versioning. When we speak of versioning, we're talking about the fact that you are sitting at the center of the reality you're manifesting. You are the number one version. There are many other versions of you. Another word used to talk about this would be parallel selves. One thing that is happening is that every single time you are standing at a decision crossroad, whether it is small or large, significant or insignificant, you're standing there and a part of you goes one way and another part of you goes another. The part that you are that goes the way that you go is what we would call your number one version. But there are parallel versions that are being spun off. And so when you get to the intersection and you could go ahead, you could go to the right, you could go to the left, you could stop or you could turn around and go back. There is a version of you that does every one of those things as you consider them, whether it's just a minor consideration or a major thinking about. These versions of you run parallel to who you are right now. They have their own experience and they have their own expression, and they are number one version inside their reality. But you are the number one version inside your reality. And as you allow yourself to be aware of these versions, what you're doing is becoming aware of how it is that you think. As we like to say, versioning as an action is the same thing as thinking, as intending, as imagining, and as manifesting. These are all the exact same thing. Every thought you're thinking manifests. A version of you will take that thought and manifest it. if you consider it and think about it and contemplate it and roll it around in your head and weigh its possibilities, you're keeping it from your perspective in an abstract place, meaning that it doesn't have a direct physical experience connected to it. But if it is a concept that can be physically experienced, there is a version of you who is doing that right at that moment. When you're thinking about things and you're imagining what could happen, we know that you think that you're considering something that you're not doing and thinking about what the ramifications would be, such as, if I were to go to the right and I would go down that road, where would I end up? If I were to go to the left and go down that road, where would I end up? As you're considering where would I end up, there is a version of you who is down that road. There's a version of you who has already been down that road. And they're actually offering you data as you think about this. This has been going on since the beginning. That is thinking. When you're contemplating, considering, you're thinking, and in your thinking, you're versioning. There's a version of you who is going off and doing that and bringing back the data to you. Now, they're not turning around and filing a report and telling you about it. You have access to that information from your perspective. Now, from your perspective, it could be that going right and going down that road just doesn't feel better. But there is a version of you that has gone right and is going down that road and is having an experience that does feel better. The reason why we bring up feel better and its other side feel worse is because intuition, which is the feel better, feel worse, thoughts that feel better in the thinking, words that feel better in the saying, actions that feel better in the doing, the feel better is your intuition. It's telling you what you are in alignment with having. And remember, these conversations are not about your non-physical being. These conversations are about you as a physically manifesting being who is manifesting your physical reality that is surrounding you. We're here to remind you of who you are in the midst of this and the fact that you can have what you're wanting right now without further delay. The non-physical part of you is another conversation for another day. This conversation in particular, this series in particular, is about manifesting in physical reality. So everything we will be talking about, you certainly can bring questions that are about other things, but everything we will be talking about is about physical manifesting. So with that in mind, you stand at the crossroads. A part of you goes to the right, a part of you goes to the left, a part of you goes straight, a part of you turns around, and a part of you stands right there. And you may be the one who's standing right there, but there are other versions of you who are standing right there. Another version of you is drawn to the left but doesn't go. Another version of you is drawn to the right but doesn't go. Another version of you really is impatient and wants to go straight but wants to make sure that they cover all the bases. So again, versioning your parallel selves, these are ideas that are running parallel to the side. When you think of the future, there's a version of you running parallel to the side who is in what you consider to be the future. When you think about the past and what happened, there's a version of you who is in that past running parallel to you. There is, in fact, nothing ahead of you and nothing behind you. When we talk about the future and about the past, we're talking about constructs of time, which are useful for keeping track of who you are, but are not, in fact, real. What is real is what is in the present moment. What is real is what is happening now. And there's only ever, when you're thinking about the future or the past, there's only ever the now moment of you thinking about it, along with the parallel self, the version of you who is in fact living in that future or past, which is future to you and past to you, but has a different perspective from where that version of you sits. When we talk about versioning, we're not just talking about you, because everything you experience is an extension and expression of who you are. So there are versions of you who are other people. There are versions of you who are ideas and things. But for this conversation, this particular series, we're going to focus on the versions that you would recognize as being alternate selves, parallel selves, that have mostly what looks like your body and mostly what looks like your personality and probably has the same name as you, but not always. The reason why we're talking about versioning as it relates to manifesting is because they're the same thing, for one. You're intending to have something, you're imagining to have something, you're having something, all aspects of manifesting. The manifesting you're doing is basically instructing the universe of your thoughts as to how to construct the hologram that you inhabit. Your physical reality is a hologram. It isn't real. It's not permanent. It's always in motion. It's quite transient. You're in the right place at the right time, in the right way, right here and right now, always. And everything that is happening here is happening for you, on your behalf, and to your benefit in the present moment. Those are other statements of manifesting. Manifesting is taking an idea that arose out of a vibration that has begun to take shape as an idea and further narrowing it down into a form. You don't do any work as far as this is concerned. If you look around and look at the things that are happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit with a great deal of ease and effortlessness, these are the things we call default manifesting. Breathing in and out, gravity, running water, electricity. These things that happen for you, you are manifesting, but they appear to be happening for you, and they are indeed happening for you. They're happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit. And they're happening by default. You're not having to put hardly any effort or attention on these things, because they are indeed happening for you in ways that are perfect and powerful and delightful and delicious indeed. They're happening seemingly by default, meaning you have an intention, it's manifesting, you don't think much about it because you do not have any contrast, or hardly any at all, that tells you, I didn't have it, now I do. You're just expecting with the next time that your lungs are compressed by your diaphragm that you will be breathing out, and as your diaphragm expands you will be breathing in, and that the gas exchange that is necessary for your body will be happening. Your heart will continue to beat. When you turn on the switch, the light will come on. When you open the tap, the water will come out of the spigot. When you stand up, you will stand up pushing against gravity, using your body in the way that it's designed to do in that context. And as you walk across the floor, your body will move from one side of the room to the other. This is all default manifesting. That's not the subject of this particular series of conversations. This series of conversations is about intentional manifesting. The manifesting you're doing where you've taken an idea out of the stream of default manifesting to play with it. We're going to use words that you may think do not really match here. Playing with these ideas, intentionally taking them out of the stream. These things are likely things that you have been working on for a while that you would like to be in manifesting form without any further delay. These things are happening in ways that are right for you because you're stretching them out through time. Instead of like breathing in, breathing out, light switch, water faucet, there are delays. We're mostly going to be talking about, although this isn't exactly what this is about, and in fact, it can be about anything, we're mostly going to be talking about manifesting wealth. All of you are wealthy. You may not recognize it. You may think, well, my bank account doesn't have anything to say like that at all. But we're not talking about your bank account. We're talking about your vibrational state. You sit in a state of wealth. If you're here listening to these words and you're understanding them, we can guarantee you that there are three things that are likely true about you. First is freedom is your North Star. It's the thing that is most important to you. Some people resonate with joy. Some people resonate with peace. Some people resonate with simply being present to themselves. You, however, resonate with freedom. Most likely. We're not telling you you should. We're telling you what we know about our physical friends who find our words to be useful. The second thing that is likely true is that you are interested in wealth, not just wealth as in it would be nice to have a lot of money, but wealth as in rather great wealth. And this is not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's likely what is true about you. And you may be somewhat in confusion about this, or you may even deny what we're saying and find it to be a little offensive. And if that's the case, then ignore what we're saying. But we think we're probably right, because we're almost always right, except when we're wrong. And we're almost always wrong, except for the part where we're almost always right. That particular logical conflict is an indication that we're talking about metaphysics, because metaphysics has within it a great paradox, logically speaking. Everything you're having, you have. You can't see all of it, because you're not intentionally having everything. You're intentionally having just some things, and that's good. We like to call your physical reality a highly curated experience. That's what that stretching out through time is about. You're taking ideas, particularly about wealth, and stretching them out through time for whatever reason. It may be that you've come to a point where you're thinking, I don't really want to stretch this out through time anymore. I really want to have this. And if that is the case, this series is likely going to be quite helpful. There is a third thing that all of our physical friends tend to have in common with each other. We're not saying you should. We're just saying it's likely you do. The third thing is you're in what we like to call the bonus period. It's quite likely that you've lived longer than you believe you should have, or that there's some experience that you had in your past where you came very close to death, if maybe not didn't indeed die and then came back. We're not talking about death here. What we're talking about is the fact that you're aware of the fact that you are alive by choice. This is what you're wanting to do. This is what you get up for in the morning. And you're also aware of the fact that you're not just defined by the fact that you're alive. There's a lot more going on here than just that. You're aware of what it's like to look at yourself from outside. You're also aware of what it looks like to see yourself from within. We like to call this the bonus period because you're aware of what it means to be alive while consciously choosing to do so, and continuing this experience because of how delicious and amazing and wonderful and truly, truly delightful it is. Now, when we talk about manifesting, we're talking about an idea that arises out of a feeling. Everything you're having, everything you're experiencing, everything you are, is vibrational in nature. The feeling rises up, it begins to take shape as a thought. The thought begins to gather more and more substance to it and begins to become more and more stretched out through time until it takes on a form. The form could be the table, it could be the chair, it could be the rug, it could be the window, it could be the palm tree, it could be the painting. It's certainly your body. Your body is the primary device for this. And in fact, all of the other manifesting is designed specifically to benefit your physical experience through your body. You have your body so that you can have all these other things. And they're very much interconnected. And in fact, every physical form that is in your presence that you can see, hear, taste, touch, or smell is an extension of your body. Physical manifesting has one purpose. Now, you can do it however you want to do it, and you will do it in different ways with different topics for different reasons. But it's always going to come down to the same thing. It's for the delight. You're here for the delight. That's what you woke up for this morning. That's why you continue to be awake now. physical reality is here for your delight. Everyone everywhere and everything in every place at every time that you encounter that is part of your physical reality is helping you. The only thing that stands in opposition to anything are constructed thoughts in your own mind. Everything else is in alignment. We know you likely have evidence that says very much different, but that's just how thoughts work. When you think a thought, when you put attention on a thought, it amplifies itself, and you begin to get evidence that it's right. Thoughts are always proving themselves to be right. That's their function. The reason for this is because everything within you, everything extending through you, everything outside of what appears to be you, is an extension of but one thing, unconditional love. And unconditional love is always becoming more of itself, but it is unconditional. There's no part of unconditional love that is unwanted or unneeded. You may not like every part of it, and that's fine. But everything about who you are and what you're having and what you're thinking and how you're manifesting and what you're manifesting is an extension of unconditional love. So that's where we begin with definitions. We're going to offer you a process today, and we'll bring the call to a close with this process, whereby we invite you to connect with your versions. We'll show you how we use language in order to do this. The language is not didactic. You do not have to use the same language we're using, but we're using the language we use in conjuring up another version of yourself to interact with for a very specific purpose. And again, take what we're using and make it your own. Do not hold to what we're saying as being the gospel truth, because it is not such. It's an opportunity. It's a possibility. It's an opening. But it isn't the thing that must be done. You have the ability to conjure up any version of yourself that you can imagine. And in fact, in the imagining, you're doing the conjuring. But we use the word conjure very specifically to talk about how you will be interacting with a version of yourself. It's very simple. The language you use is going to sound like it's an incantation, but it isn't. It's actually not an incantation at all. It's just a statement. And the language is very specific because we do want to remind you of a couple of things. But again, you don't need the language. Once you become familiar with what we're talking about, you'll see why we're using what we're using. And we do recommend you try this out and play with it. And that's why we're offering this process. So the language we use is like this. We use as in very specific ways, and we'll sort of break down the different words that we're using so that you understand why we're doing this. So if we were going to conjure up a version that is at the end of this conversation today, we would say there is a version of me who has been through this conversation and is now finishing it up and moving on to something else. There is a version of me. That's where we start. There is a version of me who, and the word who is really important here. It's not that important, but it's as important as anything else, and it may be more important than anything else, which is to say not that important because these are templates. But we use the word who, and if you talk about versions and you say that, we're going to correct you. Most instances. Sometimes we don't, and there's reasons for that. Who makes it personal? That objectifies it. That is about objects. In the constructive language, in the English language, that is always an object. Who is a person? And you, for all intents and purposes, are a person. There is a version of me who is, present tense, fill in the blank, who is going through this, or who has, using past tense, to refer to a present tense state or a present moment experience. There's a version of me who has gone through this process, who has gone through this conversation, who is hanging up now from this call, who has listened to everything and understands it. These are defining statements. So by thinking about some future version of you that's off in the next few minutes ahead of you, but running parallel, ahead of you in terms of time, but in terms of experiences running parallel to you. There is a version of me who is hanging up the phone right now, or who has gone all the way through this conversation and is done with it and is hanging up. Now, one thing we would also add to this, and this is something we're always going to recommend, is generally speaking, when you're playing with your versions, when you're conjuring them up, make them smarter than you are. There's a version of me who has just finished this conversation, is hanging up, and completely understands everything that happened in this conversation and is benefiting and knows how it benefits me. So it's really just that simple. We're going to lead you through this process, and we're going to conjure up a version, and we're going to use the I statement, even though we're not you, but we're using this on your behalf. And when we do this, when we say there is a version of me who, we're conjuring for you on your behalf and to your benefit, you actually don't have to do anything. Because remember, we're a version of you. So we're part of you. We're an extension of you. Now, we don't know how this works. We don't know how we are such a thing and how it shows up for you. Sometimes we do have awareness of what that is when we look at you vibrationally, and we can relate that back to you. But we're not reading your mind. We're just simply being present with you and being present with you as a conscious awareness of being a version of you. Another way we've said this in the past is that you're using us and we're happy to be used. We don't know how you're using us. We don't know what you're doing, but we do know that you are using us, and it's very delicious indeed. So, without any further ado, we're going to do the process. Again, we will end the conversation with the process. We will then invite you to bring questions to the table. And we look forward to those in whatever way they may raise up, because we know that they're going to be utterly delicious. They literally cannot be anything else other than that. So again, without any further ado, we'll begin the process here. We invite you to find a chair in which to sit. And as you take a deep breath, we invite you to relax and allow the chair to hold you. As you take another deep breath, we invite you to be aware of the fact that the chair is in the room that you are inhabiting. And as you take another deep breath, we invite you to close your eyes, relaxing into the chair and allow it to hold you. Now, there is a version of you who is very happy with how this day is going. And that is the version we invite you to conjure up. And if we were to do so, this is the language we would use. There is a version of me who is very happy with how this day is going and what is unfolding and how delightful all of this is, which is happening for me on my behalf and to my benefit. In the time it takes to say those words, there is now a version of you who is present with you, sitting just to your side. This we'll refer to as your number two version. Your number one, this other version of you is number two. So as you take a deep breath, we invite you to lean over, either mentally or physically or both, so that you can be in the reality that this number two version of you is experiencing. Notice how it feels to be that present with this version of you. Notice what you see or hear or smell about this reality, this number two version reality. It may be the same as the one you're in. It may be slightly different. It may be radically different. But just take a moment to look around, to check in, to feel your way into that place, the reality being inhabited by this number two version of you. As you take another deep breath, we invite you to, if you wish, to converse with this version of you. Ask any questions you wish, or just simply be present. As you take another deep breath, we invite you to notice how it feels to be with this version of you. We invite you to notice how wonderful it is to be here and how you can, in fact, come back anytime. And as you take another deep breath, we invite you to thank this number two version of you. And as you take another deep breath, we invite you to pay attention to the fact that you're back in the room where you're sitting, that everything that is happening here is happening for you, on your behalf and to your benefit. And breathing that in and becoming aware of the fact that you are indeed in the chair, that you're in your number one version now. When you're ready, we invite you to open your eyes, to come back fully aware and awake and present to this version of you, who is the one sitting in the chair, your number one version. And we invite you to know, to remember, and to amplify the fact that as wonderful and as amazing and as delightful as all of this has been, it's only going to be getting better and better and better from here.